In the sun-baked hills above the Monterey, California, where the pine trees whisper secrets to the sea, lives a community unlike any other. The Paisanos, those of mixed Spanish, Indian, Mexican, and Caucasian blood, exist in a world that operates by its own peculiar logic. When Danny returns from World War I to discover he's inherited two small houses from his grandfather, his first reaction isn't joy, but dismay. Property, that cornerstone of the American dream, represents to him not freedom, but imprisonment, a chain binding him to responsibility. His immediate response? A spectacular drinking binge that lands him in jail after challenging the entire town to fights and creating obscene portraits of local officials using squashed bedbugs on his cell walls. When Danny finally reconnects with his old friend Pylon in the pine woods, sharing brandy around a crackling fire, he utters the words that will form this unlikely brotherhood. While I have a house, thou hast a house. This simple statement, delivered without calculation, establishes Danny as an Arthurian figure, whose natural generosity creates a fellowship around him. But what makes this moment so powerful is how it subverts conventional values. Danny's apparent irresponsibility paradoxically establishes him as the moral center, demonstrating something more authentic than the materialism of mainstream society. Money rapidly transforms relationships, as shown in Tortilla Flat, where property ownership corrupts like a contagion. When Danny makes Pylon a tenant for $15 monthly, their friendship becomes tainted by debt. This poison quickly spreads. Newly a landlord himself, Pylon rents half to Pablo with circular reasoning: I will pay when Pablo pays. Finding Jesus Maria sleeping in a ditch with money from a sold boat, they convince him he's ill and needs shelter, conveniently available for rent. Life moves with delicious slowness. Mornings watching dew-covered mallow weeds, afternoons on sun-baked porches discussing local affairs. When Pablo wishes morning dew were diamonds, Pylon explains such abundance would make diamonds worthless, while wine, being consumed, always maintains value. This practical philosophy reveals how these supposedly shiftless men understand economics better than most bankers. Sometimes destruction is the most honest form of renewal. After Jesus Maria joins their household, the friends celebrate with stolen wine and dinner from Mrs. Torelli. They fall into drunken slumber with a lit candle, which topples and ignites the house. They escape but leave their wine behind, a fitting punishment for their earlier manipulations. The fire represents both judgment and redemption. It destroys the property that corrupted their relationships while giving them a chance to rebuild their friendship honestly. Danny's reaction reveals the truth. After brief anger, he feels relief that this burden of property has been removed. The next morning, Danny contemplates the ruins with unexpected satisfaction. The culprits awaken in the forest, discussing how to approach their wronged friend. Their solution is brilliantly Paisano. They raid a picnic party and return with stolen offerings of food and drink. What emerges is profound. True friendship exists beyond property and obligation. The fire purifies their community by removing the constraints of ownership and debt. In a world of schemers, the pirate stands apart. This simple man cuts wood daily, earning quarters he mysteriously saves. His five loyal dogs, Fluff, Enrique, Pajarito, Rudolph, and Senor Alec Thompson, follow him everywhere, sleeping beside him in an abandoned chicken house. When Pylon and the others invite him to live with them, hoping to find his hidden money, the pirate's eyes fill with tears at their apparent kindness. The pirate eventually reveals a canvas bag containing nearly 1,000 quarters. For years, he's been saving to buy a gold candlestick for San Francisco de Assisi, fulfilling a promise made when his dog recovered from illness. This act of devotion forces the friends to confront their moral failings. The money they coveted becomes sacred, and these cynical men transform from potential thieves to guardians of his dream. What if the ground beneath your feet held secrets waiting to be discovered? Big Joe Portagee returns from the army and joins Pillon searching the haunted forest on St. Andrew's Eve, when buried treasure supposedly glows through the earth. Fog shrouds the moon as figures blur the line between living men and spirits. When Pillon spots a soft blue light, he marks the spot, declaring, "The treasure will be entirely for Danny," showing his growing loyalty, a change from his earlier rent avoidance schemes. They dig until daybreak, finding only a concrete geodetic survey marker. Pillon philosophizes that perhaps riches would have corrupted Danny anyway. Later, Pillon steals Joe's pants while he sleeps, trading them to Mrs. Torelli for wine. His conscience eventually leads him to steal back both the pants and Danny's blanket. Finding Joe hiding pantless on the beach, he returns them, solemnly warning about women's untrustworthiness, while Joe remains grateful for his recovered pants. Danny sinks into profound depression. Once vibrant and mischievous, now listless, barely moving from bed to porch to table. He grows so apathetic that when Big Joe invades his bed, Pillon and Pablo must administer the beating for him. Pylon's solution is simple. Throw Danny a party. The friends make an unprecedented sacrifice, working for Chin Key to earn money for wine and food. News of the party electrifies Tortilla Frat. The entire community contributes while Danny wanders through Monterey like a ghost, staring into deep water. Pablo reports seeing a black bird hovering over Danny's head, an ominous sign. When told about the party, Danny transforms. He races home to become the center of the most legendary celebration Tortilla Flat would ever know. He achieves mythic proportions, drinking impossible amounts and fighting with superhuman strength. As night progresses, Danny challenges anyone to fight him. When no one dares, he storms out to face the enemy who is worthy of Danny. The guests hear his challenge, a thump, then silence. They find him at the bottom of the gulch, having fallen 40 feet. Danny's death shatters their fellowship. Doctors arrive quickly, followed by Father Ramon, uncertain if needed for exorcism, baptism, or lynching. His friends gather as Danny takes his final breath. The military funeral creates anxiety for Danny's friends who lack decent clothes. On funeral day, they watch the procession from across the church, following briefly before shame drives them to hide in tall grass as Danny receives military honors. Afterward, they break into Torelli's for wine and return to Danny's house to drink in his memory. When Pillon drops a lit match on newspaper, no one stops him. Better this symbol of friendship die gloriously, like Danny, than pass to a stranger. They exit only when flames engulf the house, standing among onlookers until it becomes steaming cinders. Then, exchanging strange glances, they walk away, no two together. Perhaps the Paisanos understood that true wealth lies in communion, shared experiences, and freedom to leave when a story ends. Their fellowship, like all beautiful things, was temporary, but precious in its transience.